Hello and welcome to Walt Love Podcasting. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing the rumored replacement for Meisner's Lounge at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and potential impacts around the monorail circuit of what the future may hold. This is Brett Schmoofy on Twitter, along with
Josh, EZWW.com, a great site,
and Mike with BlogMickey.com.
So over the weekend was the last day of Meisner's Lounge over at Grand Floridian Resort. The lounge is a bar, cocktail, cigar shop, etc. that's located right behind the Grand Floridian Orchestra Band on the second floor. Opens mid-afternoon till about midnight each night. Again, like we said, this is the last day of operation. Was this past Friday? Yesterday?
The 5th.
The 5th, yeah. Wow. Lose my mind. Rumor has it that a Beauty and the Beast-themed bar will be taking over this spot, as well as their next-door store, Commander Porter's, and some of the indoor and outdoor seating area alongside that as well. Now, Disney seemed to be really pushing the bar sales recently and trying to retheme this to something that a lot of these young adults will have a connection to, should bring in the money. Rumors began circulating about 2 weeks ago from regulars at the bar, and then moved forward to even concept art that people have claimed to have seen, including a few of the bartenders and waitstaff confirming that, yes, things are happening and we can't say for sure, but it's looking like this. So this could be a total ruse on everybody, but 100% certain, Meisner's is closed, Commander Porter's is closed, and something is definitely happening. The bar has a makeshift bar downstairs in the tea room for the time being, for the evenings, and the band has been moved downstairs as well for the intermittent future.
So they're going to end up basically taking what was, what, a 50 to 100 person bar?
I wouldn't even go that far.
You don't think so?
12 tables in there at max, you think?
It was a small bar.
It was a small bar, and they're taking that and they're expanding it into basically a quarter. If you've been in the Grand Floridian, you'll know that it's circular shaped and that, you know, basically there are shops and all sorts of stuff along the second level, and they're going to end up taking up basically a quarter of that space with this brand new Beauty and the Beast themed bar. So it's going to be a significant increase in both tables and apparently in serving space for the bartenders.
Well, I'm all for the expansion. That bar was woefully undersized, and unlike some of the more recent additions, like at Coronado Tower is opening with a new restaurant and a new bar out on the water, the Grand Floridian DVC opened with no additional dining options, and a lot of the people that are going to own at the Grand Floridian Disney Vacation Club are going to be looking for an evening cocktail, and Meisner's was woefully undersized for that, so I think they absolutely need to expand it. And I think based on some of the other recent additions, we'll talk about storybook dining in a minute, but I think it'll probably be tastefully done. Like, I don't think it's going to be a in-your-face, be-our-guest style thing. I think it'll be, like, nicely appointed Beauty and the Beast-esque, but I have a lot of faith that Disney will be able to pull it off, and that the expansion is a good thing.
And that was the question, right? How all in are they going to go on to this Beauty and the Beast theme? Is it going to be something like Trader Sam's where you walk in there and it's a completely different space? Or is it going to be something that's just more, oh, there are golds, there are blues, there's a little library over there, there's a, you know, that sort of thing where you can kind of connect it back to Beauty and the Beast? Or is it going to be overly in your face about it?
I think going overly in your face would not be the worst thing to happen for this. Regardless of what the theme is, I mean, the idea is to sell more drinks and more space, a more inviting atmosphere, something that's themed a lot more interesting than just a bar and lounge. I mean, it'll sell drinks. And the second you have the idea of Beauty and the Beast up here, there's potential for souvenir mugs. Who wouldn't want a Mrs. Potts or Chip souvenir mug that you drank out of? I can't imagine that they would do a tiki style type mug, but I'm sure that they would probably do a Gaston Stein or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things with this, I mean, we're talking about the recent bar additions as well. Meisner's is one of the few remaining bars on property that does not have a draft beer system.
I'd be surprised. I think Trader Sam's works well at the Polynesian, the kitschy kind of tropical vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I think Disney's smart enough that to know that at least the Grand Floridian clientele is looking for a more upscale experience. And I don't think an upscale experience is going to be like the Beast's Head mounted to a wall that talks to you with a $75 ceramic mug. It doesn't make any sense to me.
The idea was floated that this would be something that Grand Floridian is looking over at Polynesian and getting really jealous about the fact that Trader Sam's is its own thing now, right? It's opening an hour earlier. They want people to get in there more. So the idea is that Grand Floridian might be a little bit jealous when they put their bar, which used to be obviously the small, intimate Meisner's location, up against Trader Sam's, which is really a beast of its own. And so would they have to go all in your face, that type of deal in order to compete with Trader Sam's, if that's the thought? Or are they just basically trying to say, hey, we want to expand the space. While we're at it, we'll kind of theme this to Beauty and the Beast a little bit. And our guests will be happy. The people who are doing the monorail crawl, they'll be happy. And even our convention guests won't feel ridiculous walking into, you know, Beast Library or whatever the case may be.
I think they're learning from mistakes that they made with Hangar Bar. With Hangar Bar, they did a lot of the Indiana Jones theme, but they didn't name it Indiana Jones Hangar Bar. They named it Jock Lindsay. So regardless of the name that you're going to put on it, you're not going to name this LeFou's Bar.
And it will be getting a rename.
It'll be getting a rename.
We do know that, yeah.
So I feel that they are more confident in the Beauty and the Beast franchise than they are in Indiana Jones. And the idea of putting that and putting alcohol and food sales behind it, it's just a no-brainer. It worked inside Magic Kingdom. Why not try to expand it again, raise the prices, make a more intimate and themed experience? And yeah, I think shove it in your face. I'll spend $18 for a nice cocktail if it's shoved in my face.
So they're going to close the bar off then. Like Trader Sam's is just a nondescript door completely removed mm-hmm. from the rest of the resort. Are they going to wall that area off and you go into the Be Our Guest bar through a door? Because if it's open, but somehow dark, and they're playing music outside, and there's a mm-hmm. Christmas tree, I don't know if that's going to work. It would have to be closed off, I think, for
that. Supposedly, the layout is going to be the entrance in the Commander Porter store. So the actual bar itself now would be closed off. You need to enter to the right through Commander Porter's, and then turn to the left to get to that section. At least that's what we've been told.
I guess it wouldn't, I don't know. I should say I have no idea what they're going to do. You guys might have a better idea of what they're actually going to do. For me, an expansion and kind of classing up the bar would be a nice addition. And potentially people on vacation would be into going into a Be Our Guest bar very close to the Be Our Guest restaurant, I suppose.
I think it'll be subtly done. I think that you're still going to see the Grand Floridian Orchestra playing up there. I don't think that there's going to be a singular door like we have with Trader Sam's or something like that. I don't think it's going to be walled off. I think it's still going to be open and accessible. Because I think I remember hearing that the Grand Floridian Orchestra was going to come back to their second floor location once all the work is done.
Yes, they will be.
And all this work will be done, by the way, we should say the work will be done later this fall. Fall 2019 is what they've got on the schedule, you know, for a target time frame.
For reopening,
correct, yeah. The work should begin either today or tomorrow, being the 6th or 7th of April, and it should all be done by fall 2019. So if you're not planning on visiting until winter or later, then this won't obviously impact you as far as having to find the temporary location or worrying to find the band, that sort of deal.
If people are mad about Meisner's losing its theme, quote unquote, you can still get the same experience just a few steps over to the side at Citricose. Citricose has 4 or 5 tables on the side near the bar. They also have about 5 or 6 chairs on a bar top as well. Mm-hmm. And you can go experience just a regular relaxed bar over there and get the full menu at Citricose. So if you are that deathly afraid of losing Meisner's, there is still an option. And hypothetically, that option will remain.
So we've seen Trader Sam's open to great fanfare. Potentially, we'll see this new Beauty and the Beast themed bar opening again to some potentially great fanfare. Are we worried or looking towards Contemporary next to round out the Magic Kingdom area loop?
I guess like the Outer Rim bar, maybe space theme.
What would you do there? Yeah.
Space Jam.
Space Jam.
Absolutely.
Do they own that yet?
I'm sure they do. Don't even have to look up the studio. They
yeah,
own it.
They own it. Yeah.
No, it's Warner Brothers.
Okay, so give them a few months. Yeah. By the time I edit this and get it out, they'll probably own it.
So do you think moving to a Be Our Guest theme, shoehorning more movies into the resorts as people are going to see it, they could have expanded the bar without potentially bringing in this property. But on the other hand, the property is going to be what makes it popular. On the other hand, Trader Sam's isn't based on IP, and it's still popular.
Right.
So,
well, it'll soon be based on IP, right? When the Jungle Cruise movie comes out, then we can call it an IP-based bar.
Well, there's references to...
It's a movie based on the...
A movie based on a
bar.
Based on a bar, that's it.
Trader Sam's works because it worked at Disneyland.
Well, we could talk about whether or not it works.
It doesn't work. It's absolute trash. The Tiki Terrace is the best location at Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. If you go inside... I'm not going to say you're stupid because a lot of people appreciate it inside and I love showing it to new people. But if you're a local and you visited Trader Sam's inside more than outside.
I will say that the charm of the interior quickly faded away as potentially some enthusiasm from both locals and some bartenders.
Well, it's as loud and obnoxious as my daily life. Have you seen my Twitter?
Yeah.
It's basically...
Please don't say what it is.
It's a literal representation of my Twitter feed. So Trader Sam's is not IP-based. This potentially can be IP-based. The Outer Rim was voted Walt Disney World's number one restroom on property. 5 years running, I believe, by Keith on Twitter. Keezus. Thank you, Keezus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the bar, it's off the monorail. It's the closest one right there. It's right outside of Mickey Chef. You can get a beer. They have a draft beer system. You look out at the water. You have a great sunrise, but they're not open in the morning. So you have a sunset on the other side of the building. It doesn't make any sense. They really can't get a lot of sales. It's kind of just I ended up here because I don't know how to get downstairs to the Wave. I think the Wave was just recently, in more recent times, refurbished. The Wave still feels fresh and fun, even though nobody knows it exists or that it's down there. Outer Rim needs help, as does all of Contemporary. But one of the questions comes into Contemporary as well is that, well, Grand Floridian was built in the 80s, late 80s. Contemporary is built in the 70s, 60s, 70s. A lot of the Contemporary resort, as you know, is grandfathered into current structural guidelines. One of the fun things to mention is if you go to California Grill up on the 16th floor, 15th floor? The very top of the building, California Grill, the restrooms up there were not actually touched in its refurbishment a few years ago. They're the same restrooms that were refurbished in the 90s once California Grill opened. The entire resort's restrooms are all grandfathered in. I'm not even joking.
No, I know you aren't, but this is now a restroom-themed podcast.
Well, this is what I'm saying about potentially refurbishing Outer Rim, is that if they can't touch the restrooms because of their being grandfathered into a contractual agreement, a clause with some government building permits, What can they potentially do with Outer Rim? I mean... Mickey Chef. Chef Mickey's needs help. They were able to refurbish Contempo Cafe and stuff. There's only so much they can do before they hit these laws.
Would you rather refurbish Outer Rim or would you rather refurbish the Wave?
I think it all needs help.
Okay.
I don't think the Wave needs as much help as the rest. The Wave is fine, but I don't see Contemporary standing up to these other resorts. Now that they're all getting the attention, I mean, Polynesian had the DVC expansion, and it had Trader Sam's, and it just had the Tambu Lounge refurbishment up top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Grand Floridian just got the villas and all that. Bailey Tower is the most recent addition there. I mean, they have the Pixar Play Zone, which is now scheduled to be closed.
No, it's closed already.
It's closed?
Yeah. The Play Zone closed earlier this month. They're going to bring in the games back in.
Bring in the pinball.
Yep.
I think that Contemporary is going to get very jealous, even Wilderness Lodge. And for being one of the original icons of Walt Disney World, they need something to hold up against, even a potential Beauty and the Beast bar.
Well, in Fort Wilderness got, what did they get out there?
Well, they're getting that new DVC right next to it, Reflections.
Well, yeah, they're getting Reflections, but they also have, what's the place right there in the water?
Oh, Wilderness Lodge got Geyser Point.
Yeah, Geyser Point.
Which, and again, Fort Wilderness, nobody cares, so. Well, it's good that nobody cares, because if you touch Fort Wilderness, there's going to be a riot.
Well,
they already closed the barbecue.
They did?
Yeah.
I like the barbecue.
You think they closed it for construction noise, just for the time being, or you think that they are going to reopen it? You think it's gone, or you think it'll be back?
I don't know.
It's right next to that plot of land that's going to be the new hotel, right?
Yeah, they're literally doing construction out there now, removing River Country, because Backyard Barbecue is next to it.
And potentially they would have shut it down because it takes place at night and so does construction, right? That's what you're alluding to as far as a temporary closure.
Yeah, it seems like a temporary closure.
Okay.
Who knows, though?
As long as Hoop remains, we're fine.
But yeah, I think Contemporary needs something. It really does. It needs help. You have these theme park view rooms that are paying over $700 a night to view fireworks, and then you're telling them, here's a rice bowl and grilled chicken at Contempo Cafe. Here's a draft Bud Light. They need something themed. Pull out Wally. Pull out some Toy Story characters. Who cares? Toss it in there. So over at Wilderness Lodge, the signature dining location at Artist Point was replaced with Sorbic Dining at Artist Point, which brings in the IP characters from Snow White, including Snow White herself, Dopey, Grumpy, and the Evil Queen. And this dining location, it works. I mean, regardless, the resort's themed to the Pacific Northwest, but it kind of works, right? Am I crazy?
Well, it seems clear that Disney is looking at some underperforming venues and seeing what they can do to increase revenue. With Meisner's was too small. You couldn't get a table there. I don't go there because it's just too small. There's nowhere to sit. You walk in, you walk out. That's mm-hmm. it. A very pleasant location, but it was not big enough, especially with the expansion. So they looked at Artist Point, which was an easy reservation to get to, very rarely more than half full, and they thought, what can we potentially put in here? And Snow White obviously isn't a perfect fit, but she's sort of out there in the forest, and Storybook Dining is themed to the forest, and Wilderness Lodge is a great lodge for the national park. Mm-hmm. So it sort of works. And I don't think it was a step in the right direction. The meal there, at least now, is really good. So I don't think that was a step in the wrong direction. And also, Territory Lounge, which is the bar right next door, was also underperforming. So potentially, you're pushing some of the people that would have gone to Artist Point, the signature restaurant, now potentially could go next door. And maybe there's even an opportunity for that lounge to turn into a table service restaurant and push all their bar stuff out to Geyser Point outside. I don't think they would do that necessarily, but they might be able to.
They might be able to, especially because they kept the mushroom bisque and the raspberry sorbet on the menu.
The berry cobbler and the mushroom bisque, yeah, are both there, along with a rotating number of items, including the cedar plank salmon and some specialties from Artist Point. So
Artist Point is not dead, but even at that point, Territory Lounge, as you said, was underperforming. Was Meisner's underperforming?
Certainly from a size perspective.
It's just the size.
Right.
But that could be considered underperforming if you're only able to fit in 50 people in there, but 100 people want to get in there, then you may be 100% capacity, but you're still underperforming to what you could be making. If people are being turned away because it's too small, then they would consider themselves to be underperforming, I would assume, if they can take over a space like Commander Porter's, where I don't know if anybody's walked in there in the past month. I walked in there to take some pictures of it just for historical purposes, but
did you scare the cast member?
They were
them on a couple of
They were completely asleep. Yeah, they had no idea. But yeah, nobody, I mean, yeah, you can take over that space to, and not only that, but the thing is with Meisner's is they were already having a big overflow situation where they were overflowing into just kind of the couches and the spaces that were to the right of Commander Porter's.
Yeah, people would always
outside.
Come up.
Yeah.
They would come up to get stuff to go. We've done it multiple times. I mean, for the longest time, Meisner's was the only location on property where you can actually purchase cigars. They had a cigar menu. That changed, of course, once Disney started selling cigarettes and other tobacco products at their sundry store at the resorts. But that was the only place you can get them. And the question always was, well, can I smoke inside? And nobody really knew. the idea was that you had to go out to the patio. I assume that'll be removed. But even at that point, I mean, it's going to be expanded almost threefold.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be expanded quite significantly. And apparently they're going to be taking some of the outside portion as well.
That's good.
Yeah.
When they redid Tambu Lounge at Polynesian, they added in, I think, two more wells, and they added in a serving station for the actual tables outside. And that was really a cast-focused expansion, and it works well. Probably the current issue right now is that they're serving closets at Meisner's that the servers jump into to, you know, put orders into the bar for the bar to do. There's just not enough space for let alone people, let alone cast.
Well, I wonder how much of this is, this might sound stupid, but the Disneyfication of these Disney Deluxe Resorts trying to attract families. One of the reasons why a family might stay at Pop Century or Art of Animation or the All-Stars is because of how Disney those resorts are. And if you go to the Wilderness Lodge, there is nothing overtly Disney about it. You go to the Grand Floridian, other than maybe a Mary Poppins reference or two, there's nothing Disney about it. And in a way, I think this is Disney bringing some of those Disney elements to the Disney Deluxe Resorts to potentially attract some of these families that are staying at the less expensive resorts because that's what the kids want. That's what they see. Like, I think even in the commercials at the Grand Floridian, when they show the Grand Floridian in the commercial, there's stormtroopers marching through the Grand Floridian resort.
That is true. Yeah.
There's a elevator that comes down and the Haunted Mansion characters are in the... So they're trying to make these resorts more playful and potentially, although a Be Our Guest bar may be not the best way to bring in the 12-year-olds, but even then the kids can still go. Like even at Trader Sam's they're welcome until 8, and I would guess Be Our Guest maybe, or this whatever they call the Grand Floridian restaurant, maybe even more kid friendly. But it's, I think it's interesting that they are bringing some of the Disney stuff to where it was not before.
That's a good point about even the commercials where they so willingly incorrectly market what the actual resort experience is. There's no stormtroopers walking through the lobby of Grand Floridian.
They can hear you.
Yeah, hi.
So I think there's definitely what people want, I think, is shifting.
And by people, you don't mean...
I'm not talking about the people listening to this podcast. I'm talking about the people that don't listen to the Disney podcast. Disney's actual market is...
We are speaking to people right now. We're informing our listeners.
Sorry, y'all. No,
sorry, nothing you want or what we talk about is mainstream. But that also brings up the point... What are they going to do? Like, oh, Ohana, for breakfast at least, is already the character meal. In the Contemporary, they have Chef Mickey's, arguably the most popular character meal. But they also have the Wave, which is popular with convention, although potentially they're pulling the convention stuff out of there.
The Wave is ripe.
It is
for anything, a refurbishment.
Right, anything. Now.
It's hidden.
It's hideous.
It's it's
nobody ever goes. I really like the bar.
The bar is great. Yeah,
love the bar.
Yeah,
the restaurant is this orange.
Well, nobody knows it exists either. The Wave opened up right when America's palate was shifting to these locally sourced and farmhouse and farm raised stuff, sustainable fish, grass fed, whatever. And now that it's like 8 or 9 years later, nobody cares.
So we can expect a Star Wars theme for the Wave, right? Because that
if
that
you put a Star tunnel, Wars, that works. It's a hyperspace tunnel.
It's a hyperspace.
If tunnel. You put in some stormtroopers and do stormtrooper breakfast, keep the sweet potato pancakes and the Tillamook cheddar cheese grits.
They love that on Tatooine.
$35 per person.
The cheddar cheese grits actually was in Tron 2, so I could see them doing a Tron.
Tron theme is very
Tron
easy.
Theme
right
it's
there.
Right there at Magic Kingdom. But I would think that that would be ripe for a pretty substantial change, especially if they move convention more to the Yacht Club area.
I would look at the Wave before I would look at Outer Rim.
Citricose.
Outer Rim is the bar outside of Chef Mickey's, which is mostly, at the moment, just overflow for people waiting.
Yeah, and I can't imagine, that's so visible, I can't imagine that they could do anything of substance right there, but the wave, the way that it's hidden back there, the way that it's I would bet that that's the next spot that we see them go. Maybe not next year, maybe not the year after, but I think that the wave will not be the wave, potentially even in time for the 50th anniversary.
I like the wave. Start out there. It's hidden, though. That's an issue. Whenever you're trying to tell people how to get to there, they're like, okay, you go up to the monorail. It's like, no. You're going down to the first floor. Yeah, but there's restaurants right here. Yeah, but you got to go down to the first floor. It's worth your time. It's worth your footsteps. There's two escalators. I mean, it's already an exercise trying to tell people to go up one story to get to the California Grill check-in desk. Trying to tell them that you don't need to scale this tower to get to the restaurant. While it may seem easy, of course on the first floor. Try telling that to somebody who's just looking at the monorail going through the building and being like, well, why can't I go up there?
And let's think about this. Let's get back to this about Josh's thought, perhaps, that they might be moving convention guests. Obviously, Coronado Springs seems like a perfect spot. They're putting in basically a convention guest hotel there. Mm-hmm. You can move them over to Yacht and Beach, whatever. If they start moving convention guests out of Contemporary, that entire second floor there is filled with these huge ballrooms that you can have a lot of fun with. You can create entertainment spaces. You can create food spaces. You can do basically anything you want with that entire second floor of Contemporary.
And they do some of that with the pirate cruise and whatnot, but they could certainly expand that even further.
Maybe they don't have to touch the wave or Outer Rim.
Like they're doing that July 4th, 5th, and 6th. Toy Story.
Woody's Roundup Barbecue.
A barbecue at the Contemporary for $150 a person.
Themed Toy Story.
I mean, that's almost as party for the senses 3 or 4 years ago for a barbecue at the Contemporary.
What you can do, July 3rd, you rent a car from Alamo for $80 for the day. You pay to park at Walt Disney World, which is $25 at your resort. You take that car down World Drive. At the end of World Drive, you're going to turn left or right. It doesn't really matter. Either way, you're going to hit a Golden Corral. For $12, you can have your own Woody's Roundup Barbecue. Paint your face, wear a cowboy hat, say yeehaw to the server. It'll go over great, and you'll save money. $150 is ridiculous.
Supposedly, it had sold out, but then it turned out that maybe they just... forgot to actually make it available to anybody.
Disney's technology, right?
It's great.
But it's just a 3-night limited engagement thing. It makes a lot more sense on July 4th than it does on the 5th or the 6th. I could potentially see the special fireworks ring. But even then, for $150, you could go to the California Grill, you get a filet mignon, you get a sushi, and probably 3 cocktails for $150 and watch the fireworks from up there, which is probably a better view.
Then the Porte Cachure.
And you don't need to deal with Toy Story characters.
On the other hand, currently at Fort Wilderness, they used to have a backyard barbecue, which got absolutely no hype whatsoever. But I went and had a great time. If you do the Category 1, you got in there an hour early for all you can drink beer and sangria. And at that point, the hoedown is fine. But that is no longer being offered while they do construction on this Reflections Vacation Club resort. And I wonder how Disney-fied that will then be from the start. Will they have a character meal? Will they have a signature restaurant? How much more demand will there be for some of these high-end experiences when everything seems to be going high-end? Even Kona Cafe now is a $40, $50, $60 steak restaurant for dinner, which they can't pull off, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But you wonder if that's some amount of testing for a more expensive casual restaurant. Will they try to do more of these other character experiences?
Even if you look over at Riviera, they've got that dining experience at the top of the structure, Topolino?
Topolino's Terrace.
Topolino's Terrace, which they said is going to be a character breakfast.
Yep, Topolino is Italian for Mackey Moose.
That's it. And they're going to have a character breakfast in the morning, and then it's going to be an upscale dining experience in the evening. We can see that happen, you know.
I'm sure it'll go over well with the Vacation Club members. Absolutely.
Well, do you want to breakfast with Mickey before you get on the Skyliner and head over to Galaxy's Edge?
No. I want to breakfast with the Stormtroopers.
You can do both.
Actually, let me call this now. So Reflections, the new Fort Wilderness DVC. Reflections sounds a lot like a retirement home. So I'm going to call it now.
I've gone to rehab there 3 times.
bet me some money on this one. There's going to be an Up-themed restaurant as a retirement home. Old Carl will be walking around.
I actually didn't see that one coming from you, Brett. Yeah. That was good.
That was...
calling him now.
So I think the interesting thing then is if this is a start of what's to come to other resorts, I think there's something to say for the Magic Kingdom resorts potentially being more whimsical. The Epcot area resorts may be a little more serious with the Yacht Club and the Boardwalk and the Swan and the Dolphin, and to a lesser extent, the Beach Club, where there is already the character breakfast there. But I wonder if we'll begin to see, but even then, Trattoria now is the breakfast with the princesses. So I wonder if we're going to start seeing some properties move over there. You know, Moana at the Beach Club is a stretch, but it's possible. We could probably think for a minute about some things that potentially would fit in the Yacht Club or the Boardwalk. So the other thing about it is that it's also about increasing the price point. Storybook dining at $60 a head is increasing the price point and increasing the number of people. Be Our Guest, they're going to be able to charge a couple more dollars a drink on top of potentially, like at Trader Sam's, increasing the price point. You go to Trader Sam's, you're going to spend way more than you are at Tambu.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the Trattoria breakfast with the princesses, you're going to pay way more than you are at Ale and Compass, the breakfast restaurant at the Yacht Club with no characters and arguably no atmosphere. So I wonder if they are trying to increase prices everywhere, how much longer it's going to be until we see some of these more obscure restaurants that you can always get into add something to get people to not do a less expensive breakfast a couple of days and feel like they should be doing something because now this exists when before it didn't.
Well, you add Timon and Rafiki to Boma breakfast.
You certainly could. Boma does well for itself. But you certainly could charge another $6 or $7 with some characters.
Mm-hmm. I think an Atlantic City Dance Hall at Boardwalk replacement is definitely going to be happening soon, I would hope. The issue is that Disney Jelly Rolls right next door does so well every night it's open, but they cannot get anybody in to Atlantic City Dance Hall.
I don't know the whole story. Maybe you guys do with the Atlantic Dance Hall and why they don't advertise it and why they don't do anything with it. There is a story there, but it's a great space for weddings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it could still be a great space even with more theming. But I just wonder what they're going to try to do to increase prices and increase interest at some of these other restaurants. Like if I say the Turf Club out loud, how many people know where that is? How many people have been there? How many people want to go there? Nobody wants to go to the Turf Club. One person out there is like, I want to go to the Turf Club. You're the only person thinking that right now. But if they were to add something, I don't know what, like a walk around horse characters or something. but Flynn could be there and Kristoff could be there. Like the characters with the, like Bullseye is a walk around character. So you could do Toy Story there or something. There's a tie-in and you would take that restaurant from a restaurant that nobody wants to go to, that they just happen to be there because it's raining and they unexpectedly find themselves back at the resort, to a restaurant that people are going to go out of their way to visit, which is something that's going to be happening at New Meisner's.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to go out of their way to visit. And it makes a lot of sense. On the other hand, not everywhere can be full, but I don't think Disney agrees with that sentiment. I think they think they can get every seat in Ale and Compass occupied, and there's somebody coming up with a set of characters or a way to make that happen.
I think characters is the easiest way to do that, though. They have this huge library of IP that they can pull from in an instant without having to ask anybody's permission, without having to do any of that stuff. And they can turn a Meisner's into a Beauty and the Beast. They can turn, you know, a wave into a Star Wars. They could do all sorts of stuff like that.
And they've already done it, like at Cape May Cafe for breakfast is a character meal. If it wasn't a character meal, there'd be much less interest.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that's a good thing is perhaps another episode. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be interesting to see. They're obviously moving relatively quickly with Storybook Dining last year in December. They're mm-hmm. doing Grand Floridian this year. What are they going to announce in fall for the Contemporary, or what's going to come to these other resorts?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot that they can do, and there's a lot of opportunity for expansion. You know, you look at the Wave. Is the Wave bar busy every night of the week?
It can be.
Based on convention guests, right?
It's convention mostly. Guests. It's locals. It's how picky security is being. If the locals can't park there, they're not going to come drink there. They'll go to Ale House instead. I feel really it's a slippery slope with the Artist Point Dining. And now adding characters everywhere else, I think, is just a no-brainer, and it's going to happen. I think it's only a matter of time before we see Tiana and Naveen and Lewis at Boat Rites for either a breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Or a character dinner. I think it's only a matter of time before they reopen Bomb Familles over at French Quarter. With potentially a Tiana name attached to it.
Blast from the past there. That's where you put Tiana.
But I think that the overall goal is how can we get these characters? I mean, Disney now owns Fox. They own everything. How can we shove these characters everywhere possible? They keep touting that their approach with Epcot is going to be to make it more family friendly, more Disney and timeless. Which translates to we're going to put every movie you know and love into this park. Frozen worked well.
Mm-hmm.
So where else can the weird little shoehorns work?
Well, it's you go to Disney to experience Disney, and a lot of the Disney resorts are not overtly Disney. And certainly, I'm sure many of our listeners are very much against this sort of thing, but that's the direction we're headed. And to a point, seeing those characters is a lot of fun. That's why they're so popular.
Mm-hmm.
Like I went to the Trattoria Al Forno Princess Breakfast, as I always do with a bunch of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. Like it was nicely themed. The characters were scared of us, not sure. Really sure what's going on. You know, it was just a normal Tuesday morning for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so popular, is because this is what people want to see. People don't want to go to the Grand Floridian and go to the Commander's store for ties. Even if that does, you could certainly argue, and some thoughts going through people's heads right now, like, oh, but it adds to the classy ambience.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure. Yeah, but...
And it's quite a simple equation. What are you looking at? You're looking at least $40 to $60 per person for a character meal, depending on if it's breakfast or dinner. You're somewhere in that range, right? $40 to $60. So you can, if you're Disney, you're looking at a lot of these empty seats at some of these underperforming venues, and you're saying, would I rather have a seat there with $0 coming in, or would I rather throw a character or two in there, spend a little bit of money up front to retheme it, and now all of those empty seats that I'm looking at are now $40 to $60 bills every hour and a half.
What if I told you... next month, you could go to Ale and Compass Breakfast and meet the dog from Little Mermaid, along with the lobster and flounder and Ariel.
I'd be
done.
There. Yeah.
You just filled that place up for breakfast every day of the week.
Exactly.
Why on earth aren't they doing it?
No, that's true.
And it's not because they want some place for you to be able to have a $12 fruit plate for breakfast.
It's because they can charge you $40 to $60 a head.
Yeah. So I guess the question then is this direction a good thing for Walt Disney World? It's a complicated question.
I think the answer here is usually what's good for Walt Disney World and perhaps what's good for the general public is not going to be the opinion that we are able to produce. Like, even if we're against a Beauty and the Beast bar, or if I'm against a Beauty and the Beast bar, it doesn't matter, because for Disney, it's a win. They've expanded their spot. For the general public, it's a win because they get to go to a bar potentially with their even with their children that they would have otherwise maybe not even known existed. It was positioned behind the Grand Floridian Orchestra, and unless you're specifically looking for it, maybe you don't even know it's there. So even if it's a from our perspective, if it's not a good thing, I think it's anytime that you can add characters to almost anything at Walt Disney World, as much as that's a blanket statement, I think that's going to be looked at as a positive for not only Disney, but for the person who's sitting at home and watching the commercial with the stormtroopers going through the Grand Floridian lobby saying, yeah, that's the experience that I'm looking for. And that's the experience that I expect. Because that's the picture of Disney that Disney's painting.
And to, also, to be fair, almost all the changes that they have made that have made certain locations more expensive have still been, you could argue, superior experiences. There are people certainly out there that are going to miss Artist Point forever.
Mm-hmm.
But objectively, Storybook Dining is a good meal. It's a good time. If the characters aren't in your face, it's not a step in the wrong direction, in my opinion. But if they're going to do that everywhere, if there is no inexpensive option anymore, I guess you just push more people potentially to quick service. But at the same time, some of those people eating quick service are now finding reason to go to these more expensive meals. Like, you could get into Artist Point every day of the week before the switch over to characters. Now you will not be able to find a reservation in the next couple of months. So the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody goes to Chef Mickey's because they want the ribs.
That's the truest thing you have ever said on this podcast.
They go because they
want the ribs. But there is one guy out there who's like, I do.
I do. Love the ribs.
You're the only one, sir.
The crab legs, man.
We got the ribs guy. We got the turf club guy.
They're the same person.
We've covered most of our listenership. And
still nobody for Artist Point.
The shredded chicken dip at Turf Club, man.
True.
But you go for the characters. Ask any travel agent out there. When people they don't know Disney too well, they're looking for restaurants. You cannot sell boat rides to a first-time visitor, but you can sell Mickey Chef.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. Chef Mickey's. Chef Mickey's. I'm so used to calling it Mickey Chef because...
Right now, you're actually leading two Mickey Chefs to one Chef Mickey, if we're keeping count.
My bad.
Brett doesn't know anything about Disney World. Not even the names of the restaurants. One-star review.
One-star.
Ohana's. Jiko's.
So...
It's not a bad thing.
It's
certainly not a great thing, but it's definitely not a bad thing. And that's all objective, I guess.
But the thing is, even for people who are Disney fans, Josh, you're going to find yourself in this Beauty and the Beast bar more often than you would find yourself at Meisner's.
You said Disney fans and looked at Josh. I mean...
Sorry. Even for somebody who...
Hates Disney. I do. Yeah, I would imagine I absolutely will.
Beyond the initial review, of course.
Well, potentially. It's the next Haleo.
That's it. Visit five times.
So I think it's hard to argue against Disney making these changes that are successful for the company and that people love. You go to Ale and Compass today, you're going to have a fine breakfast. It's going to be boring. It's not going to be that different. If you could meet the dog from Little Mermaid, the lobster.
He has a name.
The flounder.
You understand he has a name.
I'm sure that he does, but I do not want the people to know that I don't know it.
Max.
Max the dog.
Sebastian.
Sebastian the lobster.
The flounder's name is Flounder.
The flounder.
Oh, that's easy. Good.
So that would turn that into a meal that you would want to go to. And it's probably just a matter of time. Like, Disney has figured out that people go to Disney World for Disney, not for these kind of obscure experiences where, oh, you're at boat rides. We're building a boat that we've been building for the last 37 years. It's not quite complete, but here's some complimentary cornbread. Nobody wants that, minus the cornbread. So it's just a matter of time. Get to boat rides today. Get to Ale and Compass today, because you're meeting the lobster the next time you go. I guarantee you that.
Boat rides is a great restaurant that deserves your... Yeah, let's see a different episode. So that about wraps up our conversation on the potentially upcoming Beauty and the Bar expansion to Disney's Grand Floridian Resort. Signing off for the day, this is Brett Schmoofy on Twitter.
Josh, EZWDW.com.
and Mike with blogmickey.com.
Have a great day.